Jerusalem. How I long for you to gaze at your walls, to walk on your streets.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Living Torah. I just got in from Lake City, Florida last night, yesterday afternoon, actually, and it was in a conference called Refresh. I tell you what, it was an amazing time. Working with, of course, Barry Phillips is always a pleasure. David Altman, Joey Mon, a group out of Albany that led worship. I can't even remember their name right. I hope they don't listen to this because I don't want to them to know that I can't remember their names right now, but it was quite a weekend, and I'm running on just a few cylinders right now. But to say that this weekend was one of the greatest conferences that I've ever been a part of is really an understatement. These men and the two ladies that were part of the worship team just did an over-the-top amazing job. It was videotaped, and so it's going to be up on Vimeo, God willing, fairly soon, probably the next couple of weeks. Gloria and Frank Bloomfield, who have been faithful to the congregation of Kol HaMashiach in Lake City for many years, have now officially retired, and they're moving to spend time with their children, grandchildren in Texas. And so we had a time of blessing them. But I spoke the whole weekend. Ended up becoming about destiny and about purpose. And that's something that you're going to hear me teaching on a lot in these days. In talking with these gentlemen and with others that were there and conversations that I've had from with many other people, we truly, and we're not trying to set dates of anything and, you know, Elijah showing up this Passover, but many of us are feeling that something is happening in the spirit, and that, you know, the book of Hebrews talks about the shaking. In the last days, I will shake everything that can be shaken. Well, the events of the earth, there's many things that are being shaken right now. Nothing happens no shaking happens in an earthly realm that does not first begin in a heavenly realm. I believe that. That the earth is to be a mirror image of that which is happening in the heavens. And so I truly believe that there are some things happening right now, and there will be many people that rise to the occasion, that become a part of this. There will be others that sit around and ask the question, what's happening? And there will be others at the end that look back and say, what happened? I choose personally to be a part of what is happening today, what I believe that the Father is calling me to do, and I pray that I'm able to pass that on to many of you. We did have an event happen this past week that was tragic. The man in Kentucky, Winchester, Kentucky, Mr. Frank Houts. Frank has been one of the pioneers of this walk for many years. A man that I believe never really found, that he was one of the most brilliant men that I have ever met in my life. A man who was a deep, deep well, not just of knowledge, but a deep well of understanding of the scriptures. The places that he would go, what he had studied, absolutely brilliant man. This past week on Thursday, he was driving his car, pulled off the side of the road and turned on the flashers. The best recollection of the story to me is that a friend of his was a police officer, saw the car pull over, walked up. Frank never made it to the hospital. He had a massive heart attack, and in our realm, in our way of thinking, it's a great tragedy. But this man has left what has been found. I was just talking with some folks yesterday, and his legacy, I believe, is going to be greater in his death than it ever was in his life. So, you know, for his family, our condolences. If anyone would like to pass on a blessing unto his family to help with the expenses and just with life, you can send that to our office. Just mark it Frank, and we will make sure that everything is passed on. You know, you guys, many of you are amazing in your giving. It's not always that you can give a great amount, but it's what you do give. And when we compile it together, I was just with some friends in from Israel this past week. I went down to Jasper, Georgia to see them. We were able to give, to pass on a blessing to the town of Itamar and also to one of the other communities in the Shomron that is looking to upgrade their first responder, the first responders and the equipment that they use. So we were able to give a sizable sum of money to that, and it's because of you. So thank you very much. We're going to go into Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. And I do want to make one more announcement. On the Connect to Israel tour, we are going to be going from somewhere between 20 and 25 people on this tour. Right now we have, I believe it's 17 or 18 people registered. And so, I know of two other people right now, at least two other people that are in the process of signing up. So if you would like to be a part of that tour, you need to make that decision pretty soon. Let's get that thing going. Get your registration in. And it's going to be a great time, as always. We're going to be going in a little earlier this year because the festivals are late. I said to a friend of mine last night, passing on a kind of an interesting little joke, not much of a joke, but from Hanok Young, that the, you know, the festivals are never on time. They're either early or late. But, you know, it's, people say, well, they're early this year, or they're late this year. Why? Because we still look at things from the Gregorian calendar. The truth is that the Gregorian calendar is either ahead or it is later than Yahweh's timing. So just a different way of looking at things. So we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. And Shaul, he talks about, he says, do everything without complaining, without arguing, without murmuring, so that you may be blameless and pure children of Elohim, without defect, in the midst of a twisted and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the sky. You know, those are great words there that we are to be. And I mentioned this last week, that the heavens declare his glory, and you and I are called to establish that glory. I'm going to be, God willing, taping a message for next month and going over some of the aspects of this. That how do we today, since the heavens are declaring that glory, how do we establish that glory? Deuteronomy chapter 8 talks about establishing his covenant, which is establishing his glory upon this earth, that we are to take dominion, that we are to, where the, as Joshua was told, where you put your feet, I will give you that land. What is he saying? Wherever you establish my covenant, that land will be unto you, which is unto him. He goes on and get down to verse 17. Go ahead and run down to 17. Indeed, even if my lifeblood is poured out as a drink offering over the sacrifice and service of your faith. Shaul was, he got a hold of something that I think we need to look at today. That his life, he was seeing his life as if it was poured out like a drink offering. Now, if, you know, imagine the tabernacle, the temple, when you gave a drink offering, you didn't just give half of the glass. If you were to come with a jar and it was filled with wine or whatever, or the time of the water libation. You did not take that pitcher and pour just a part of it and say, I need to hold this back. This portion I need to hold back for myself. No. You were to bring that drink offering and you were to pour completely out on the altar. To the point that, you know, if you've ever watched someone pouring, some kind of drink into a glass, what do? You tip it up and you pour it in and then you wait for that last drop or two. There's those couple of drops that are stuck in that bottle, stuck in that plastic, bottle that are right there, and you just kind of wait and you shake it a little bit to make sure that every bit of liquid that was in that bottle is now in the glass and is available for another purpose than just to be in the bottle. In the bottle, it does not have. It has purpose, but it's not fulfilling the purpose. If you imagine a glass of water, a glass of water has purpose. And those of you that have been hearing me teach, the word purpose is coming. It's really a focus of teaching of what I'm doing right now, because I believe it's so important. It's been an impacting thing in my life over the last few months. And I believe it's for reasons, that is to pass it on to you. So that water has purpose. The purpose is life-giving. It is refreshing. But as long as it is in that bottle, that purpose is, we could say, bottled up. It is not until the top is taken off and it is poured out that its purpose can be fulfilled, can be manifested. And so with this, you would pour everything out, making sure you get every last drop. The old Maxwell House commercial, good to the last drop. So Shaul is saying that my life is being poured out as a drink offering. That his desire, what he had gotten a hold of in life, is that he was to leave empty. He did not know at this moment in time what his future was going to hold. I believe that he understood the concept that his future was Elohim's past. And so he was not concerned about what was going to happen to him the next day. When Roman footsteps would come down toward his cell, he was not concerned about what the consequences of those footsteps were going to be. Because he knew, as that old song, I know who holds the future. The future. Our future is his past. So why are people worried and concerned about their future? I put out something the other day that we need to trust our unknown future to a known Elohim, for he is trustworthy. I was listening to something the other day, and it was funny. Someone was explaining that he had had a time in his life that he was fearful of something. He had anxiety. He was stressing out over something, an event that he was worried about coming. And as he's laying awake one night and he's praying over these things, he heard these words. My word says that I do not slumber and I do not sleep. So since I'm going to be up all night, why don't you go ahead and take some rest? Why don't you go ahead and rest in the fact that he's going to be up all night? Those are good words. So Shaul understood this of leaving empty. He had nothing to continue in his life for. He knew that everything had been poured out. And this is a principle of great men and women of faith in Scripture. You know, going back to Yaakov, the story, the account of the end of Yaakov's life is to me more intriguing than his life, than the actual life itself. For it says that he called his sons together and he blessed them, leaning upon his staff. What is that staff? That staff is the autobiography of who he was. It is said that in that day, that on your staff you would have carved the events of your life. And those events would be read, could be read like an autobiography. So the fact that he is leaning upon his staff means that he is leaning upon a life that has been lived to the full. There's no more room on the staff. The moment that you and I fill up our staff is the moment that we're ready to be poured out. But see, with Shaul, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. Yaakov was ready to be poured out unto his sons. So the last event of his life was to be that everything that he was, everything that he had been, everything of purpose in his life, every event, every hurt, every tear, every moment of blood, of sweat, of tears, that was all there in that staff. And what was he doing in the prophecies to his son? He was pouring out his life into theirs. And the moment that he poured out his life into theirs, it says that he sat down, curled up his feet, and he died. I think that as Moses was at that end of his life, you know, 40 years earlier, he had been told at that burning bush that you are going to be the deliverer. But yet, it appears that Moshe, coming to the end of his life, is a failure. For he struck the rock the second time, and because of that, he is not entering the land. But yes, he is. Because all that Moshe, if we go back and look, and I was talking to one of the men this weekend about this. He just got one of those revelation moments. He said, I've never noticed it. I've never noticed it in reading the scriptures that here's Joshua. That even when Moshe leaves the tent of meeting, Joshua stays behind. Joshua was basking in the presence. Joshua was basking in the shadow of the relationship that Moshe and Yah had. He was witnessing that relationship, and he was basking in the presence and in the shadow of that relationship. So what was happening? Moshe, unbeknownst really to him probably, was pouring his life into Joshua. And at the end, I really feel that at the end, when Moshe walked up to the mountain to offer his life up and to be buried in an unknown place, that as he turned to walk, he understood that his life, that he was not a failure. The striking of the rock was not a failure. It was a way of passing his life. It was an event of passing his life on to Joshua. For Moshe did enter into the land. He did not enter into the land physically until the Mount of Transfiguration, but he entered in through the person that he had poured his life into. See, when you and I pour our life into someone else, then our life is about taking them with us. Over my shoulder, sometimes I think I need to change the surroundings that are behind me. And I was turning my camera on today, and I looked into there, and I I saw the alignment of the camera. Sometimes it's, you know, a little wider angle than others, but I saw these two men over my right shoulder, John Fallis and my grandfather, Cody Michael. My life is about, they poured their lives into me. They offered their lives, whether they understood it or not, they offered their lives as a drink offering. And what I accomplish, what I'm doing, my purpose in life is about them moving forward. Because everything that I am, much of what I am, is about what they poured into me. And we should be looking for those that we can pour our lives into. I think Moshe and Joshua got a hold of this. Elijah and Elisha. We see that Elisha was, it was prophesied that he would do twice the miracles that Elijah did. Why? Because Elijah had poured his life into Elisha. In the end, it appears that he, at first, he comes up one miracle short. So everybody's probably running around saying, yeah, we knew that, you know, we knew that he had sin in his life. We knew that he wasn't going to do it. We knew that something was going to happen, that he was going to blow it. Well, they didn't understand. Is it just because your spirit leaves your body? Your spirit leaving your body has no effect on the promises of Yah. When something is prophesied in your life, the fact that you are not living anymore does not have a bearing on that promise going forth. We read the story of someone being thrown into a cave and his dead body touching the body of Elisha and that man coming back to life. Why? Because of the promises. The promises that the Father has given are not dependent on our breath. His promises are His promises no matter what. That which He is promising to you will be fulfilled, whether you are alive to see it or not. Those promises will come to pass. We see this in the life of Yeshua and the disciples. The model, really. Everything going toward this model of He had poured His life into these men. He had poured His life into 12 men. One of those men would not receive. See, the fact that Yeshua was desiring to pour His life into 12 men, but only 11 received it. There are choices that people make in this life that even the Messiah Himself could not change that choice. Understanding this, that when we pour our lives, when our desire is to pour our life into someone else, and we do everything within our power to pour our life into someone, it is still their choice whether to receive that or not. For Yehuda, Judas, he chose. He chose to put his hands up. Though the life of Yeshua was available to be poured into his life, he chose to stop the blessing coming in, and therefore, it never went forth from there. See, our lives are to be, many have looked at this, that we are to be like that. And, you know, the scripture is full of parables, that we are to be like a pot. And you know, these parables are not an end of themselves. They are to teach us at a level. But a pot does not allow water to go through. I've said this many times. We are to be as a conduit of His blessing. 11 of the disciples became a conduit. Shaul became a conduit.
Pray for your peace. Hear your people weep. Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. How I long for you to be at your walls, to walk on your streets.
Yehuda, Judas, died as an empty vessel. An empty vessel because he had never received, he had never allowed that offering to come into his life. There are many today that will die as empty vessels, dry inside. See, when you pour your life out, when you pour a pitcher into a glass, no matter if you stand there for a while and shake it and try to get that last drop, there's still residue. There's still residue of moisture in that pitcher. Why? Because the water was there. And the residue will be there for a time. But with Judas, there was no residue left because he had never allowed anything to come in. Shaul understood the principle. He understood it at a level that he will go on, and we'll talk about this more, of Aphroditus, yeah, I can't pronounce his name real well, and Timothy got that one down pretty good. He understood that it was about the life that had been poured into him, allowing that life to go through him and into others. Look behind you. Do you have anyone that you're allowing his life to flow through your life and into another? Is your life more like a pot, a pitcher, that you're desiring all the blessing? He will pour into you. No doubt. He will pour into you. But his desire is to pour through you. Which is greater? One is an attitude that his blessing is about me, instead of his blessing is about others. Our life should be about his life being poured through us, not just in us. So he said, I am ready to offer my life as this drink offering in service of your faith. I will still be glad and rejoice with all of you. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. See, a life that has been poured out is a life. The person who has allowed their life to just have that blessing flow through, to allow that blessing to pour out onto others, that person is not afraid of death. That's why Jacob, after he had curled up his feet, he had blessed, he had prophesied over his children, he curled up his feet and he gave up. He just gave it over. I believe that Moshe just gave his life over. Elijah gave his life over. Yeshua, it is finished. Why? Because each one of them, Yeshua, of course, at a different level. Let me make sure that you are tracking with me here. Yeshua at a different level than the other men. But when he said it is finished, in those words, he could say, my life, my purpose in life has been fulfilled. There's nothing left. There's nothing left here. An empty vessel is not afraid of dying. An empty vessel is not afraid of death. It may not be looking forward to the way that death comes about, you know, for Shaul and for all the other disciples. You go back and read Fox's Book of Martyrs and other books. It's the event of taking us from this side to that side that's the event that most of us are really not looking forward to because we don't know how that might happen. You know, the book of Revelation talks about those that had lost their heads. It doesn't really sound like a great day, you know, but it is what will take you from this side to that side. But you can go, the event can be peaceful if you're going from this side of the event to the other side of the event with a poured out life. A person that is afraid of death, I believe, is a person that still has something inside of them. When you and I are emptied of everything that we were brought into this life for, then we will be able to move, transition from one place to another in perfect peace. Shaul was even saying here in these words that, let's go back and read them. I am still glad and rejoice with y'all. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. Rejoicing in a life. Rejoicing in a life that was lived before us. When a person has given everything of their life, and that may not, that doesn't have anything to do with age. See, here's the thing. Age does not have a bearing on fulfillment of purpose. Some friends of mine lost a son years ago. He was 8, 9, 10 years old. This young man, though from our perspective, died way too early. From an eternal perspective, died empty. We would think this young man, he's 8, 9, 10 years old, he has so much of life ahead of him. But yet if we were to look at that from eternal impact, he died empty. Here's a young man that actually went to the funeral home to pick out his own casket. While he was there, he wanted to meet the person that would do the funeral. He wanted to meet the person that would be involved in his body being put to rest in that coffin. Here's I believe he was eight. He wanted to pray over the man that was going to handle his lifeless body. His memorial service was one of people coming and saying the impact that this young boy had on their lives. It doesn't appear in our perspective that someone dying young, that doesn't make sense to us, that everyone should grow old. But in the wisdom of the Almighty, He understands each person's purpose in this life. Shaul could come to the end of his life, and he could say, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. And you don't look at this as a bad thing, because everything that I've been given to do in life, in fact, including pouring into your life, I've done. I mean, that would be the greatest desire that I think any of us could have in life, would be to say that at the moment of our death, this is not morbid, not in any way. Hey, death is a part of life. Death is a blessing. Because of the fall, death is a blessing. But the blessing of death is that we come to the end of our life and we have nothing left. That it's the moment of our passing is that moment of taking the pitcher and getting that last little drop of whatever was in there and getting it into that glass. Getting into that next person. That everything of our life should be about getting that last drop into someone else. That should be our prayer. I know it is mine that if Messiah does not return, the kingdom does not come in the next years, I want to be empty. I want to be totally and completely empty in that day. Move on. But I hope in Adonai Yeshua to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I too may be cheered by knowledge, by knowing how you are doing. I have no one who compares with him, who will care so sincerely for your welfare. This man, Timothy, a couple of books are written to him, a couple of books of a great instruction. I've taught through those books. They're favorite books for me. I mean, they have such insights into relationships, insights into the last days of what we're living today. It is literally like the headlines of today's news when you look at the words of Timothy. And here Paul is knowing that his life has now been poured into Timothy, and that Timothy has that same understanding. Timothy is like Elisha to Elijah. He's like Joshua to Moshe. He's like the disciples to Yeshua, because he is emulating that which he has taught, he has been taught. It wasn't so much as that Shaul was teaching Timothy, but that Timothy was catching Shaul. Some things you can't teach. In fact, most things that are important in life, you cannot teach. I was talking about this past weekend of prayer. Prayer is something that cannot... You can teach the form of prayer. Yeshua did that. The disciples said, teach us how to pray. And he gave us what is called the Lord's Prayer, which is really probably the worst definition that can be found. It's really the disciples' prayer. But the disciples' prayer is a form. It is a blueprint. It is a guideline. And so if all we learn, as I did in vacation Bible school so I could get another popsicle, if all we learn is the form of the prayer, but never understand the function of the prayer, we will be left with rote words that end up becoming meaningless to us. Prayer is something that the form can be taught, but the function can be caught. Get that? The form can be taught. The function can, the form can be taught. The function is caught. If you want to learn how to pray, get around men and women that pray. Don't go to another, I remember, my mother talking about a women's class, 80 years old women that are going through a Bible study on how to pray. They teach you how to pray. Get around men and women that pray. When you get around men and women that pray, you'll learn how to pray. Because you will catch prayer. It will become a part of you. It's easy, way too easy, to figure out. It takes a moment's time to discern who prays and who doesn't. A moment's time. I believe that prayer, a time of prayer, is probably one of the most embarrassing moments to most people. But they don't even know that they're being embarrassed. They don't even understand the embarrassment, the shame that they're bringing on themselves when they're asked to pray. Because their prayer reveals their lack of prayer. Prayer will reveal your lack or your abundance of prayer. It's not something you can fake. Shaul had passed on his life unto Timothy. He said that no one compares to him who will care so sincerely for your welfare. And then some words that we'll probably try to finish with this week. People all put their own interests ahead of Messiah Yeshua's. Now, he's making a pretty broad stroke comment right here. That people all put their own interests. He's putting pretty much everybody in. And then singling one man out. Think about that. He is putting everyone in and then singling one man out. For every one of us come into this world with a fallen nature and a nature that looks out for our own interests. Do we not? It's human nature. Human nature to look out for our own interests. Never forget listening to a young father who just had a child. And this young father said, this child is so perfect. This child is just, how could this child possibly have anything of a fallen nature? It looks so perfect. And the first time that I saw that father and his little child looked at him and said, no. He understood that we all come into this world with our own interests in mind. It is inbred in us. But there will be those that are singled out. What causes that? I don't know. If I knew that, I don't know where I'd be. What causes a person to allow themselves to be singled out of a crowd to become something that the crowd is not? Why is it that you are not following the crowd? Do you know that there's no answer for that? There's no way of answering if you are, that you have been singled out. You're there. To continue to try to answer the question is an exercise in futility. Accept the fact that you're not a part of the crowd and then live like you're not a part of the crowd. Timothy was living his life as though he was not part of the crowd because he wasn't part of the crowd. But there were other young men in that time. How many young men were there at the time of Joshua and Moses? The time of Elijah. There's a whole school of the prophets. And then Elisha was attending the school of the prophet. See, here's an interesting spin that there was the school of the prophets and the school of the prophet. At the school of the prophets, you were taught how to be a prophet. At the school of the prophets, being a prophet was caught from a prophet. You want to find your purpose in life? Get around people that are pursuing their purpose. You want to become something you're not in life? Get around people that are becoming something they're not. It's just a very easy, you are going to become, this is out of some of the self-help things, but guess what? Those self-help things are based upon Scripture. You are going to become the average of the people you're hanging around with. So if you're spending your time around five people, you're going to become the average of those five people. So if you're spending your time around five negative people, you're going to become the average of five negative people. If you spend your time around five people that are not going anywhere, you're not going to go anywhere. We need to be adjusting. If we want to change the person we are, we must change the people that we're around. The disciples. Mending nets. North Shore of the Galilee. Yeshua comes along. Follow me. Become fishers of men. You can't become who you're called to be if you sit there. In order to become who you're called to be, you have to follow me. You have to change the people you're hanging out with to become the person that you're supposed to be. These are simple principles, folks. Timothy, we don't have a lot said. We hear about his mother and his grandmother. But there's not much more said about who this man was. We're not told exactly how he was called. But he left who he was to become who he was. Think about that. He left who he was to become who he was intended to be. We need to do the same thing. Timothy is being put into a place of incredible purpose because he chose, however that happened, he chose to have the life of Shaul poured through his life. Shaul became the man that he was, that we read about, because he accepted the job, the purpose, however you want to term it. He accepted that his life was about being poured through. Timothy, his life was about being poured through. We'll talk next week about this man that I can't pronounce his name real well, but another man who decided that his life was about being poured through. Shaul is going to come to the end of his life very soon. We're going to see some amazing words still that he wrote. Words that can help to define our lives. As his life, he just allowed it to be poured through. He just allowed the Ruach, the Spirit, to be poured through his life and into others. Question. If I ask you today to write down, who is your life being poured through to? Who is on the end? First of all, is your life about you and your vessel, or is it about the blessings being poured through you to somebody else? And if it is being poured through, who is it being poured to? Or to ask you today to write down a list of the people that your life is being poured through and poured to, how long would that list be? Interesting question. What's really interesting is the answer to the question. Shavua Tov. Have a blessed, prosperous week. Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. See you again next week. Until then, be strong. Pray for your peace. Hear your people.